It was a truly enchanting vista that stretched out before the seven friends. There was a plateau of bare rock, looking as big as a football field, that had once been graded and still showed the faint etched lines on the tarmac where parking spaces had been allocated for the military. It was bordered by a row of sturdy concrete blocks along the edge, making a steep drop toward a narrow valley 1,500 feet below. A flock of pure white doves circled far above. Far beneath them, they could just see the silver thread of a narrow river, while in the middle distance, partly obscured by a haze, there was the shimmering expanse of a large lake.
Oh, looks like the land of paradise. If you can't recover even more quickly here, Ryan, then you can't recover anywhere.
I would beg all of us to bear in mind the sorry but undeniable fact that even the Garden of Eden contained its own serpent.
Miserable old bastard. Can't you ever try to look on the bright side?
Turn over every bright side, madam, and you find darkness on the other.
Fireblast. I feel better already. Let's go kill a deer. Or maybe two.
Looks like someone's been having a try at getting in.
They all turned around from the view, seeing where the armorer was pointing at some clear scorch marks near the bottom of the right-hand door.
And I think someone had a go with a couple of frag grins.
Any damage? Doesn't look like it.
Not all damage shows on the outside.
Don't go all mystic on us. You'll be slipping into that 20th century stuff about being no success like failure.
Guess you're right. Can we go down and take a look around?
Sure, but I'll keep together. You ready, Ryan?
As I'll ever be. Before they started the steep descent, JB checked their location with his mini-sextant, confirming that they were somewhere in the middle of what had once been New Hampshire.
That could be Lake Champlain, then. My dearest Emily and I sailed and fished upon that many times. To see it again after close to 200 years. If we can get down there, we might find some of the finest piscatorial sport that man ever knew.
And women, Doc?
But of course. My own darling wife once hooked onto a monster pike not far from here. 30 pounds if it was an ounce. Sadly, I failed to gaff it, and it fell from our boat into the water. Emily was frightfully cross with me.
The trail was steep, cutting in a series of switchbacks down the side of the mountain that concealed the redoubt. About halfway down, there had been a minor earth slip that had totally washed away the blacktop for several hundred feet, though it finally reappeared again, just before plunging into a dark expanse of conifers.
Looks like it could be good hunting.
Hope so. Sooner we get down there, sooner we find out.
Were there any big vills around here, Doc, in the good old days before Skydar?
A place called Burlington, as I remember, not all that far away. Not a big vill like New York or Chicago, but we thought it pretty up and walking good in New England. I was born only a few miles from here.
Where?
South Stratford, Vermont. Admirable little place, Dean. Lovely general store, white frame houses, woods for miles in every direction.
And people lived there, in homes?
Indeed they did. There were folk in South Stratford, aged 80 and upward, who had never traveled more than 20 miles from their birthplace in their entire lives.
Really? You greasing my wheels, Doc.
How's that?
Joking with me?
Ah, I understand. Colorful slang, young fellow. No, I confess I'm not oiling your wheels, Dean. Life back then was slower and simpler and cleaner and so very much better.
Long ago and far away, Doc.
Correct, my dear. And so very much better than it is today.
A bald eagle soared overhead on an invisible thermal, sending the doves scattering.
The whole flock's gone, but the eagle didn't get them.
Not a flock, young man. The wrong collective noun for doves.
Flock of sheep?
Alpha plus. But one should talk about a duel of doves.
Duel? You made that up.
I did not, Dr. Wyeth. Many of the names are quite unusual and rather picturesque.
Tell us some! Hey, Dad, Doc's go... You all right, Dad?
Yeah, thanks. Might have a sit-down when we reach that earth slip. Go on, Doc.
Ask me some birds or animals, Dean.
Wolves?
A root of wolves.
How about a crop of old men?
Ignore her, Dean. Go on.
Hawks?
A cast of hawks.
What about toads?
Yes, I remember me the word. One talks of a knot of toads.
How about crows, Doc?
Crows, J.B.? One of my favorites. A murder of crows.
Murder? All these names from before the long winters.
All right, smartass. What about larks? And you better watch it, because I know the answer to this one. Go on, Doc. Larks.
An exaltation of larks. Is that not correct?
Well, as it happens, yeah, it's right.
A deceit of lapwings. A parliament of owls. A pitying of turtle doves. A siege of herons. A shrewdness of apes. Oh, so many fine terms.
Angels?
Angels? Hardly birds or beasts, dear boy.
Come on, Doc. You know so much. What about angels?
A choir would be the collective noun, I think. But I'm not altogether certain, Michael.
How is it, Ryan?
Been better. Needed this rest.
Pulse is up some. Temperature about normal, bearing in mind the exertion. How's the neck feel?
It's still real painful, Mildred.
Bad as it was?
No, it's not. When can I take off the dressing?
I'll look at it later today. I brought some strips of those old sheets to clean it up.
Immediately below them, the winding blacktop vanished under a mountain of loose earth and rock. It was obvious from the amount of rich vegetation growing over it that the slide had been many years ago. Ryan reached out from where he was sitting and plucked a tiny flower.
Compare where we are now to that place we finished up with the muti creatures. Acid rain and fog and nothing living worth a spoonful of piss. Look, it's beautiful.
Would the traitor have appreciated this kind of view, Ryan?
A view? Hell, the only view the traitor really appreciated was one where he could make some easy check without having to break a sweat.
So, this traitor, how come you and John figure the sun used to shine out of his ass?
Because he was the best. If Abe's right, maybe I should say the traitor is the best.
Easy answer. Best at what? Killing people?
Yeah, for one thing. Traitor knew chilling like other men know breathing.
Damn. Coming here from my time, I've seen amazing things. There's a lot about Deathlands that's better than the end of the 20th century. But this emphasis on wasting people. Like the man with the biggest blaster becomes the biggest man. Not very politically correct, Ryan.
I don't understand you, Mildred.
No, I guess not. I tell you, if Traitor really might be alive, then I kind of look forward to the chance of meeting him. Kind of scared about it as well.
I'm starving hungry, Dad. Can we get moving again?
Yeah, right now.
It took them more than an hour to descend over the jumble of shifting stones and earth. The footing was treacherous, and twice they set off minor slides. Ryan found it hard going. He slipped and fell heavily when they were close to the bottom, and rolled helplessly, banging his left shoulder hard on a jagged outcrop of granite, the impact starting the wound to leak blood again.
I'll bet that river is bursting with trout and salmon. Only another quarter mile or so and we can rest by it. Looks easy going now that we're off the mountain.
Ryan looked up behind them, trying to conceal how weak and nauseous he felt. The hillside scraped up away from them, looking almost impossible to climb. From down in the valley, at the bottom of some loose scree, there was no sign at all of the existence of the redoubt. It was a little warmer, with a fresh breeze now blowing across the valley, ruffling the tops of the nearest pines. The air smelled like nectar.
I don't know how the rest of you feel, but I have seldom felt so rested and comfortable. Admittedly, I shall be even closer to perfection once I have three or four charbroiled trout inside me. The ones that you mentioned, Miss Roth.
Not gonna catch and cook themselves. Let's go get them.
Fishing is such a different activity to what it was in my days.
How did you fish pre-dark, Doc?
With long rods of bamboo and thin gut lines. Barbed hooks and lures designed to look like the most delicious flies that a fish ever dreamed of.
Why go to all that trouble?
Sport. Lots of times we'd fight old brother Steelhead for a couple of hours or more. Then, once we'd landed the brute, we'd simply slip him back into the water again.
That's serious stoop.
Looking back, I must, peradventure, have to agree with you, Dean. But as I have oft remarked before, that was then, and this is now.
Once they had a second pile of a dozen or more trout ready to gut and bake, Ryan sent Dean and Michael out into the surrounding forest to search for berries or fruit. Dean came back in 20 minutes with his pockets filled with boysenberries and loganberries, fat and brimming with juice. Doc pulled out the silver pocket watch from his fob pocket.
Where's Michael? I believe that the boy has been gone for close on an hour now.
We split up. Well, we didn't exactly split up.
How do you mean?
Michael just went off on his own and he didn't sort of reply when I spoke to him.
That jump was real bad for the boy.
Thought he'd gotten over it.
I thought so too, love. Could be wrong. Cryosurgery was my field, not psychiatry. Though there weren't many specialists around that you could have asked about paranoid psychosis arising from a malfunctioned matter transfer jump.
Better go look for him. I'll stay here with Dean. Nah, he better go as well. Doc, stay here and keep me company.
Willingly. But do you think...
I don't think anything, Doc. The boy's got the fastest reflexes I ever saw. But he could have been cold-cocked.
We'd have heard a shot.
Yeah.
Where's everyone going?
Michael was standing in shadow, leaning a hand against a lodgepole pine, the sound of his approach muffled by the rushing river nearby.
You all right?
As the gentle rain, thanks. You moving on?
Coming to look for you, Stoop. You find any berries?
Don't call me Stoop. I don't like it. Understand?
Sure. Don't have a... You get any berries?
Berries?
They still couldn't see Michael's face, hidden in the darkness at the edge of the forest.
That was what you and Dean went for.
Oh, sure. I remember now. Any of those fish left?
Why, you...
Leave it. You didn't get any berries, Michael?
No, didn't see any.
See anything else?
No.
Michael stepped slowly out of the shadows, and everyone could see the dark stains on his face and mouth from the juice of loganberries. But nobody said anything.
Oh, yeah, I found sort of a building.
Where?
And some bullets and stuff.
Any sign of life? Recent life?
No, afraid not, JB. Not even a smell of anyone.
Show us. Now.
Sure.
The meal and more good water had restored Ryan to something close to his original health. He still allowed the armorer to take point, walking with Michael, while he brought up the rear with Christy. Doc, Mildred, and Dean occupied the center of their group. Everyone had a blaster drawn and ready. The teenager led them along the river, up a gentle slope, past some moss-green boulders and still pools. They moved through a grove of whispering aspens, then cut away from a narrow trail to the right of a feathery waterfall.
Far?
Closer than the sun, and farther than the end of my dick.
I asked you how far it was, Michael. Stop treating all this like some fucking game.
Another 5 minutes or so. I suppose it might be a quarter of an hour.
Someone's been on this trail recently. See the tracks?
Wonder when it rained last.
Looks like someone without shoes.
Not clear enough. Don't think they're that recent, but keep on red alert.
The cache of bones was heaped off the trail, near the mouth of a shallow cave. Most had been broken, and the marrow drawn from them. A few shreds of dried flesh and gristle hung from the ends of some of the longer bones. Nobody needed to ask what species of animal the remains came from. Three grinning skulls with broken teeth had been piled on top of the grisly cairn. Grinning human skulls. Ryan had begun to feel tired climbing the slope of the hill, and they'd stopped a little way past the discovery of the bones. Dean and Michael had gone to throw dry sticks into the stream that flowed close by, falling fast over a series of small cascades. The other five sat together.
I'll say it if nobody else is going to. We need to watch Michael carefully.
He seems better right now.
He says we're nearly at this building he saw. I guess he's bringing us the same way he came.
Couldn't come any other way by the look of it. Right. But he never mentioned those bodies. He had to have seen them. Known what they were. Why not tell us about that?
The bones had been there for some days, hadn't they?
So what? Three skeletons looking like a herd of buffalo stampeded over them. Never saw bones so splintered. What do you think, Mildred?
About Michael or the bodies?
Both.
I think there were more than three. I know there was only the trio of skulls. But that looked like at least 8 or 9 femurs for a start, and the same number of scapulas. Could have thrown the rest in the river.
What about Michael?
I agree we need to be a bit careful. I don't think there's much chance of him trying to harm any of us.
Much chance? Well, that's about as bastard useless and stupid as... I'm sorry, Mildred. I nearly got real angry again. But you reckon he could hurt us?
I don't think either you or Michael are on top of life at the moment, Ryan. Try speaking to me like that another day, and you'll be shitting bits of broken teeth. You hear me?
I'm sorry, really. But we have to know.
Should we consider some sort of restraint for the poor lad?
Tie him up? No. Short of chilling him, all we can do is watch and listen. And be careful.
A pair of foxes darted across the trail 100 yards farther along, where it was beginning to level out again and move away from the water.
What's the name for them, Doc?
A skulk of foxes, my dear boy. Though I wouldn't have said that Br'er Renard was all that much at skulking.
Ryan leaned a hand against the smooth trunk of a tall, elegant silver birch. The day was getting much warmer.
Is it far, Michael?
Just over the top. Looked like some kind of shelter, an overlook.
I can see it. Hold it here and I'll go on ahead. The rest of you cover me.
The trees had thinned out, and the trail had suddenly turned into a stone-lined path. There was a line of beaches to the right, and to the left, the ground dropped off steeply toward the distant water. They could all see the outline of a gray stone building, standing alone in a clearing.
Feel anything, Christy?
Not close. Before you jump on me, I mean not for several miles. But I feel a kind of contact recently. In the last day or so, I guess.
Good or bad?
That's easy, lover. Bad.
JB had vanished, crabbing to the right, moving at a fast crouch, with the Uzi in his hand. The others waited. Ryan had the Stire, scanning the land all around through the powerful Starlight night scope with the laser image enhancer, his index finger on the trigger. The other five were fanned out, watching silently in a combat perimeter. Dean with his heavy Browning, and Mildred with her Czech ZKR 551. Christy looked toward the stream, holding the five-shot Smith & Wesson double-action revolver. Doc sat with his knees drawn up, back against the live oak, the massive Jeb Stuart limited edition Lama cradled in his lap. He held a fallen leaf, preoccupied in following the delicate tracery with his fingernail. Michael lay flat on his stomach, following the progress of JB, his own Texas Longhorn Border Special, resting on an abandoned anthill.
See him?
No. I saw a blue jay fly out of the trees close to that building. Must be him.
Ryan turned and crawled to lie alongside Michael.
You go right up to that place?
Yeah, I thought... No, Ryan. I got close, then figured I should come back and report what I'd found.
And you had the berries on the way back.
Right.
Ryan spotted JB at that moment. The armorer was kneeling behind a stout sycamore, less than 20 yards from the building. He stood up very slowly, then waved with the automatic pistol for the others to join him. They stood together, a few feet from the southern wall of the single-story shelter. It looked like it had originally been a kind of very basic overlook for campers or tourists.
You said you saw bullets, Michael. Where was that?
Other side. By where there's been the big fire and stuff.
It crossed Ryan's mind that only a couple of minutes ago, the teenager had specifically denied that he'd gone right up to the place.
Fire?
Go look.
As they walked around the front, it was clear that it was a totally basic shelter, with no windows and only an open doorway. To the left, there was a fringe of aspens, hiding the view over the valley, with the tumbling falls of the river. Back before Skydark, the trees were probably not there, and the building would have given the hiker an uninterrupted vista of staggering beauty. The ashes of a big fire were heaped up against the wall, concrete and stone scorched and cracked. And as Michael had reported, there were dozens of empty shells, the brass discolored by the heat.
38. Someone threw them into the fire so they'd explode.
And there's the smell of gasoline. Why set such a big fire way out here?
It seems a veritable midsummer madness. Who on earth would do such a foolish thing?
Ryan and JB looked at each other, the same thought running through their minds, both of them knowing just who might do such a stupid thing. But before either of them could put that thought into words, they were interrupted.
Dad, come quick!
The first body could have been either male or female. It had been so badly mutilated, then set on fire, that it was almost impossible to tell. If Mildred had been allowed the time and resources, she could undoubtedly have deduced the sex of the corpse from a variety of forensic evidence, beginning, of course, with the pelvis. The corpse had been bound with strands of baling wire, then strung up onto a large iron hook driven into the wall. It was impossible to be sure, but it looked like the feet had been severed before the burning. All of the skin had been blackened and crisped, though it had split in several places, showing the veined redness of raw flesh beneath. The skull was roasted, eyes and soft tissues quite destroyed, leaving only the startling whiteness of the teeth, frozen in an eternal rictus. The air was heavy with the sour scent of gasoline.
Happened last night, I guess.
The second corpse was obviously male. It lay huddled around the corner, knees drawn up to its chest, arms clasped around itself. A dark hole in the side of its head, with dried blood matting the stringy hair, showed how it had finally died. A massive dark patch over the front of its torn cotton shirt spoke of a mortal wound that had left the man dying in agony. He looked to be about 30, with a skinny body and bare feet. His lips had flared back off his teeth, showing that they were filed to needle points. But it was the soles of his feet and the palms and the fingers of the hands that everyone looked at, confirming the unvoiced suspicions of both JB and Ryan. They saw a number of small, powerful suckers, mostly closed in death, but plenty strong enough in life to rip skin away from an enemy.
Stickies!
Yeah. That explained the empty shells and the surfeit of gas-powered explosions. The one thing that a sticky loved above all else was causing mayhem and murder with fires and detonations. The louder and grander the better. It also explained the blackened log that had once been a human being. Ryan reconstructed what had happened.
Someone on his own, hunting, passing by, trapped by some stickies. 2 or 5 or 50, doesn't much matter how many there were.
Good matter to us, Ryan. Tracks only show about 5 or 6.
Agreed. The Norm probably only had time for a few rounds. Gut shot that chilled the sticky down there. One of the other muties put the bullet through his head. Unusual to show mercy like that.
And then they had a sticky party, Dad.
Right.
Had we not best assume extra vigilance if those subhumans are in the region? I knew that this Garden of Eden would have its share of reptiles.
Nothing to do here. We got us a choice. We know there's food and good water here. Probably a lot more game in the woods.
How are you feeling?
I wouldn't want to go 5 miles with a rabid grizzly, but it's getting better all the time. The wound on my neck still pains me.
Of course it does, Ryan. Could easily take 3 or 4 days to begin healing properly. I thought about stitching it for you.
I'm glad you didn't. I had a wound stitched once. Never again.
Where was that? I know all your scars pretty well, lover. Never seen one that looked like it had been sewn back together again.
It was a long time ago in another place.
And the wench is dead.
Yeah. How'd you know that? I never told anyone about it.
It was a sort of quote from an old play, Ryan. I hadn't intended to touch upon a sore point.
It was a bastard sore point, Doc. Slut and a gaudy when I was 15. Tried to cut me for a handful of jack. Did it when we was doing.
Were doing, not was doing.
Yeah, sure. We finished doing it. And she tried to cut me with a small boot razor.
Where'd she cut you, Dad? Oh, I get it. There. Wow, Dad.
Well, she only did part of the job. And after it was over, the old bitch who ran the gutty sewed me up. I said I'd put out her eyes if she didn't help me. It was a real deep cut. I was bleeding to death.
What happened to the whore?
Killed her. Slit her throat with her own blade. Look, I had no choice.
Sure.
They left the bodies unburied.